Hi, everyone. We're going to jump back into Galatians 3, try to make some sense of all the parts that we've been looking at, but also want to take a different direction, I guess, or different methodology in being a little more deliberate as we go. I think I want to just stay away from outlines and just stick with the scripture and sort of be more conversational in this presentation. I'd like to slow down a little bit too. I think I've been going a little too fast sometimes, and it isn't really anything that anybody's absorbing, or maybe not, I don't know, emphasized enough, but we'll see. I'm looking in Galatians 3:1, where it says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." Now that's the English Standard Version that I just read. That comes with the program I've been telling you about that I use quite a bit. It's the Accordance program. Actually, I think I paid for that at some point, but they do have a free version of it in there. Anyhow, just wanted to make sure you knew that that wasn't my normal New American Standard. So what does Paul say here? This book of Galatians is like a mini Romans, as far as I'm concerned. It's the first book that Paul wrote, and it is, at least it seems like it was, it is full of the same concepts, although not gone into as extensively as he does in Romans. This idea of Abraham being justified by faith, we talked about last week. By the way, I'm not going to go back and go over chapters 1 and 2 in this same manner. That'd be kind of silly and tedious for you guys. But he says to them, you're not making any sense. You began by faith, and now you are reverting back to works of the law. Not just works, but works of the law. And these works of the law are, of course, the ones prescribed by God as what makes one right with God. At least that's what they think. They've got a totally false concept that's been ingrained in them and probably hammered into them by the eons of following the law. It is who they are. It's a part of their culture. It's everything to them. It is life itself, if you will, to them. And now there's this sudden change. I wonder if it isn't parallel to Martin Luther, who was also very, almost like lightning strike, and I don't mean that to be punny, because I think he was the one who got struck by lightning. The man changed overnight from being Roman Catholic to being a believer. He went from punishing himself for not being adherent to the tenets of the law and scripture, and even beating himself for that, punishing himself severely, to being one who is justified by faith. And of course he came up with the three solas. That's Latin for alone, solo, sola. Sola fide, faith alone. sola gratia, grace alone. Sola scriptura, scripture alone. He just overnight was changed. Although, you know, he wasn't changed overnight. There were things that were changed in him overnight, but there were things that remained. And he didn't really want to leave Roman Catholicism, which he thought was the church, but he wanted to reform it, hence the term reformers. But he was indeed changed from somebody who works to be right with God to one who trusts in the Word of God and receives the grace of God and the Spirit of God in the process, and who then begins to live by faith and implement that and apply that and use that as one's guide and directive, I guess, if you want to call it that. Doesn't seem right to call it that, but the Galatians were apparently instructed incorrectly in Paul's absence. This first part of verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Somebody has come in and bewitched them, or misled them. In fact, the word bewitched means to deceive. Bewitch, begrudge, deceive. Who has bewitched, begrudged, or deceived you? Paul asks. You started out right, but now you're reverting back. This is kind of interesting to me because it comes on the heels of chapter 2. Said I wasn't going to go backwards, but I'll go backwards for just a second here. Peter did this. We have in Peter's behavior amongst the Galatians a microcosm or an illustration of this, you know, in real life. Peter was saved by faith. Peter was saved. Peter's righteous before God. But his behavior didn't line up. And at some point, it didn't line up because some people came in and said, wait a minute, Peter, you shouldn't be eating with those Gentiles. You know, maybe they didn't even say anything. Maybe they just gave him the look, like, what are you doing, Peter? You're Jewish. Why don't you act like you're Jewish anymore? And that whole pressurized situation caused Peter to back off from eating with people that he was eating with prior to that influence that came in. So Peter could have easily been asked, who has bewitched you, Peter? You began by faith, and now you're reverting back to works or the law, keeping the law as what makes one right before God or keeps you right before God. Probably the latter, keeps you right. Sometimes people do go so far back as to say that I'm not right with God because I'm not doing these certain works that I know are the works that God gave his people to do so that they would be right with him. And they've got it all wrong. And that's the problem with these influencers, with these Judaizers, the ones who bewitch. They have it all wrong, and Paul's trying to correct that. He's rebuking the bewitchers, and he's rebuking those who have been bewitched. He is trying to get them to see that if you start off by faith, that's how you keep going. It's not as simple as bringing a yardstick to someone's spiritual life, a spiritual yardstick, I guess, or tape measure, and trying to figure out whether or not you measure up. It's not as linear as all that. In fact, that's why we have 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is righteous, he's just and faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So even that is done by faith. Faith in the Word of God. Faith in the promise God makes in that passage. You don't live by trying to make sure that you do everything right. Well, you want to do everything right. There's no doubt about that. What actually happens when somebody doesn't do right and they think somehow that they blew it sufficiently as to not be being right with God anymore because of that misstep, or let's just call it what it is, that's sin? This is a common thing in the lives of people everywhere. Perhaps it's a kind of reverse pride, or maybe it's straight out pride. I don't know what motivates it all the time. I couldn't possibly. All I can do is speculate from the outside in, I guess. Is there a list of things that you can do? Let me ask you that. That will ensure that you are righteous with God. And if you do those 1, 2, 3, 150,000, 80, whatever it might be, things, then you'll be right with God. That's a horrible place to be. That is performance-based. And you think that God loves you based on your performance, you're barking up the wrong tree in the first place. God loves you and saved you because of Jesus' performance, not yours. You and I have a hard time grasping that, I'm sure. Well, maybe you don't, and maybe I don't. But, I mean, it creeps back in all the time. The Puritans had an issue with this, and God loved the Puritans. They're serious about their walk with the Lord, that is, in applying the Word of God. And they're very serious about the Word of God as well. And the things that they might have considered heinous sin, you and I would think of as not even a blip on the radar screen, perhaps. I don't know. That's neither here nor there. But they would ask themselves, how could I do such a thing? How could I think such a thing? How could I be motivated by such a thing and still call myself a Christian? And maybe that's true, and maybe it's not exactly 100% the way that it was, but it does illustrate what enters into the mind of us, and apparently what entered into the mind of these Galatians. Works don't work as far as righteousness with God is concerned. We don't have to function. I hesitate to say that, I guess. Could be easily misunderstood. But we don't have to function perfectly in order to be right with God. Now, we want to. So, what is it that we depend upon to be right with God? That's really the issue. I depend upon the crosswork of Jesus Christ and my faith and my dependence, my trust in that which He did on the cross. In fact, my righteousness is not of me at all. It's of Him. It is what God does in me. He declares it. As we were talking about it with Abraham, He declares it. He accounts it. He marks it down. When you meet the threshold of faith in some promise that God has given, that is something that is an impossibility for you and I, We have come to that place where we are dependent upon God to fulfill that promise. Everything coming from Him and nothing from us, He accounts it as righteousness. And there you stand. In fact, this passage speaks about justification. And then now in the place where they are, they're in the section of salvation that's called sanctification. Do they now sanctify themselves by doing works of the law? Is that how they are set apart and made holy? No. If it starts with faith, it continues with faith. They heard, it says, the word of God, and they received the Spirit of God by faith and not by works. They can't be completed or perfected by works. It's totally out of the picture now. Never could you have been. He's talking about straightening out their understanding of the Old Testament as well. No one was ever justified before God by works of the law. That is not how it was ever supposed to work. They got it wrong. And they're getting it wrong now, even after coming to Christ. It's not the same group of people, obviously, but it is a similar group of people. Don't be foolish like that. Don't be fooled like that. Don't let people tell you anything different than that. So I'm going to just stop there and apply something, and we'll quit today. Don't ever allow anyone to tell you something that is contrary to the Bible and then follow what they say. But here Paul is giving them pastoral, if you will, advice. He's shepherding them. And shepherding doesn't always mean just nice visits. You know, hi, how are you? Can I pray for you? Oh, I'm so sorry about this, or so sorry about that. You know, the empathy kind of pastoral visit that most people have in mind. Real pastoral care, real shepherding, involves rebuke, not just nice visits. Something else is true is that Christians are fickle. They need to be reminded of many things along the way. They need to be reminded of how to correctly handle the scriptures. They need to be reminded of how a sinner can be justified before God. They need to be reminded as to how Christians need to live by faith and not by works or performance. And they need to realize that God has given them everything they need and will supply all that they need. And they don't need to add to that one iota. But I guess I'll leave it at that for today. That's more than enough. We'll be going through this like this, hopefully the rest of the time. Like I say, I'm just going to allow the Spirit to lead and the Scriptures to dictate what we say here. It won't be a fully blown, fully orbed study about every theological concept, but just some ruminations on what the Scriptures say and how we can apply those things, hopefully, to our daily lives. Well, Lord willing, I'll see you on Sunday. Until that time, as every week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace.